This is a Collider.com audio interview.
The film is so shot through with emotional and physical energy in potential, like a potential form of it in wrestling holds and when it's unleashed in the blows. But between takes, were you just laughing at each other and saying, oh my God, quit sweating on me? Like, what was the energy like between the takes? Did you maintain the intensity or did it have to break?
Like that.
Yeah. There was a fatigue. No, there was. I mean, I often find that the movies, the more heavy the on-screen situation, the more levity off-screen. Almost out of necessity, you know. There's a lot of that going on. And there was here. There was a little bit of crying on each other's shoulder. And get me a latte.
Get me a latte.
No, there was no lattes added to the shoot of that. Did you have a latte during the shoot?
No, remember when we were at that point where we were walking burrito. Down through the crowd and you're like, I need a burrito.
It was the burrito bomb.
The final shot when you're walking out through a crowd.
Not the tap,
the final moments of, you know what I mean?
Walking through the crowd.
One of the fights.
Yeah, how long were you actually shooting?
Yeah, the burrito moment.
The whole film?
Yeah.
12 weeks. Was it 12 weeks?
10 weeks?
12. We got to Pittsburgh, though, 10 weeks early.
You only produced it.
So we were training for almost as long as we were shooting. Yeah. So we were there for a long time. A long time.
Talk a little bit about, the film was finished, I guess, over a year ago. You know, it's been sort of waiting with the fighter coming out. They decided to wait. What's the process been like for you guys? Because, to be honest, the movie is great. Oh, and oftentimes when the movie gets delayed, there is something wrong.
There's something wrong with it.
Yeah. So what's it been like for you guys, you know, with the waiting process?
Do you know what? I think the due diligence of you know, of Gavin O'Connor is a testament of why the film stands up so well, actually, is that I don't necessarily think it was the fighter. It coincided. I know we were shooting at the same time that the fighter was shooting, but I don't know whether that was a conscious decision personally. I don't know if that's what's
Well, he said the studio said that they didn't want to release it at the same time as the fighter.
But also, Gavin took a long time. I mean, he had so many feet of footage. I mean, just with the fights alone, there was so much to pick through. There were four cameras.
10 hours worth of footage.
It was a forever amount of footage for the fighting. And he had to cut all that together. So he cut longer than... I mean, most films get cut... I don't know, maybe you get 20 weeks or something. I'm sure Gavin cut for almost twice that long.
He said it was a year.
He really dug in, and he wasn't gonna lock that film until it was ready.
He still wouldn't, would he?
He's still cutting.
He would go back and cut it again, I reckon.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the first kind of delay. And the next thing really was, all right, well, now we're not going to release a movie about two brothers that's in the world of fighting when there's another one out there. Because they're completely different movies. But when the general public look at a trailer, they might be like, oh, well, I'll only spend money on one of those movies, you know.
Mr. Hardy, a friend of mine suggested that your deltoid should get its own credit because it has the mass and shape of a separate character. I mean, all kidding aside, is it fun or creepy to do like that science fair stuff of, I'm just going to eat chicken and broccoli and lift weights and let's see what kind of a monster I can be? Is that fun or is it just terrifying?
The novelty wears off. You know, I think initially it was good fun. Initially it was good fun, and then, you know, you settle in for the tour, and the tour is a few months, you know. And then I was, you know, by the end of Warrior, I went on to Inception, and it was really nice to just wear a pair of silk pants and silk shirt and have a suntan and just lie down and sleep a lot, you know what I mean? And I didn't have to get beaten up anymore for a while. But now, Chris has asked me to come back and go through the whole thing again of the chicken and broccoli. So we banished the more chicken and broccoli and even more weight. So yeah, it's good fun, but at the same time, one has to be concerned about their body. You know.
I mean, do you ever, I saw your physique in Bronson, as did we all. Do you ever worry about breaking something? Like, is some part of your endocrine system you're just going to snap, gaining weight and losing weight and gaining muscle and losing muscle?
I'm more worried about the people around you.
Well, breaking people around me, yeah. well, Bronson was fat. Tommy Conlon was, you know, replacing that fat with, like, 14 pounds, you know what I mean, and then stripping the fat off Bronson. And then Bane has been putting that 14 pounds back on plus another 10. So we're dealing with minimal sums, but still we are messing around with an endocrine system. So, yes, I do worry about that. actually.
Not to raise that on an inspector. I mean, no, I've just been consistently overweight for decades. It's treating my system really well, so yeah, I got nothing to complain.
How was it training and having the fighters on set, like, with their influence? Did that influence your roles at all?
You can't have a tantrum for starters. Just, you know, who are you going to shout at?
Yeah. Yeah. They were awesome, man. Yeah. You know, I think I had the perception that I was going to rock up to the gym and there was going to be a lot of kind of testosterone, a lot of aggression, a lot of, you know, judgment towards us for trying to fill the role of a fighter. But it was nothing but a nurturing and awesome atmosphere where they would basically just go, welcome to the gym and let's show you what we know. And they're constantly talking about health and diet and all the different training methods and
encouraging you,
really encouraging. And I think also, just because that's the nature of really great athletes anyway, is that when people are really great at what they do, there's no aggression because they own they're comfortable in their own skin. They know themselves well enough. They got nothing to prove, and that was very much the energy there. It was very encouraging, and they knew that we were kind of going to be the vehicle with which their sport was going to get portrayed in either a good or a bad way. And I think there was a general spirit on the movie that we wanted to pay respect to the sport. And they knew that that's the intention, and so they were very happy with that.
I was going to say, could you both talk a little bit about working with Mr. Nolte and what that experience was like? an honest answer.
Well, that was my
honest.
My
honest answer is that Nick Nolte's character is my only friend in the whole movie. Isn't it? I mean, the only person I hang out with. You know what I mean? At all. And if I'm not on my own, being grumpy. You know what I mean? And I love Nick, and I think he's fantastic, and he's an icon for me. As an actor, he comes from an old school heritage of real. Realistic, naturalistic movie actors. Bottom line, from the Stella Adler, you know, Strasbourg lineage, right through from Marlon Brando, Al Pacino, Dustin Hoffman, bang, you know, all the way through to Nick Nolte's like James Caan. You know what I mean? He's old school, and you look at him, I look at him, and I can see that the history is carved into his face. Do you know what I mean? Like an old cliff face. Do you know what I mean? He's got craggy, you know, like history written all over him. He's like this big bear. He's very gruff, but he's very aggressive. He's a huge behemoth of strength, and yet he has this really soft and sensitive childlike playfulness, and almost there's a clown in Nick, which as an actor to work with is something which is really important, that you don't lose your child, your jouissance, your ability to play regardless of consequence. Do you know what I mean? So you just throw things out there generously to another, to back and forth. And at the age of, what, is he 70?
Right? Yeah, 70.
He's still got it, man. Do you know what I mean? It's like, he's got it, and he'll keep you in
so
place.
Got it.
He's very, 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 and he has stories. I mean, he taught you about Brando. Taught you about him. Because he knows him all. So that's what it was like working with him. He was a legend.
And it was fun, too. Like, there's this kind of, obviously, with Nick in particular and other actors of his profile, is you got a lot of information about them before you meet them, and unfortunately for Nick, for a couple of reasons, a lot of that information is kind of craziness, and you know, a certain photo of him with his hair all kind of teased in the air, like the mugshot version of Nick. So I was definitely like, what am I in for here? You know, what is this guy going to be like? And my first day on set was the scene I do with him on the lawn, which was like, you know, from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. me and Nick, you know, toe-to-toe on a 7-page scene, and I was like, what are we in for here? And he was fucking awesome. I mean, he just was completely everything that you would hope for, and that unfortunately in this industry, everything that you don't expect. You know, so you have this sort of weird expectation that when someone really famous is actually really nice and really good at their job and really dedicated to their job, that it's a rarity. It shouldn't be that way, and it definitely isn't with him.
So what are your expectations in this business?
What are my expectations?
Yes.
For the future, or what?
Yeah, well, in general, like, well, getting into the business, what did you expect that it didn't happen?
I don't know. My expectations were, I don't know whether it was I didn't back myself, or because this guy came from a very small town, but my expectations were that I would be a theatre actor, and that's what I would be, and that I would never be in the movies. That, and then when I got a chance to be in the movies in Australia, I never imagined that I would end up in the movies here. So I kind of kept getting surprised by how far I could push things, you know. And then when I got here, I just felt like, I don't know, I thought at some point recently, I was like, maybe I should actually start setting goals for myself, because maybe I could achieve more if I actually have my eyes on the future, rather than going, this is where the train stops, right here at the theatre, you know. And but my expectations are, I've gone well beyond my expectations, and I'm very happy, and anything that happens from here, I'm excited by and happy about. But I'm happy now that I feel like only now am I starting to get the challenges that I want to have as an actor. I often sat around on set of a little movie thinking, I wish I had his part.
Let's compare, you know, being a champion, you know, as a martial arts champion, and being a movie star. Is there any comparison there?
I reckon I'd be able to compare anything to anything else if you gave me enough time.
Do you both live in Los Angeles now?
Yeah, I do. He doesn't.
No, my son lives with his mum and her husband in London, so that's it. I'm a Londoner forever. I'm never moving until my boy's old enough to move with me.
I mean, if he wants to. Kidnap him.
No, I can't do that. That's illegal.
So, were you surprised that Gavin came to you before Bronson, after Bronson? There must have been a lot of activity.
You hadn't seen Bronson at that time.
I know.
So I was surprised that he came to me. I actually flew out and knocked on his door about midnight one night to tell him why he should hire me to be Chuck Norris. Because at the time when I read Warrior the first time, I thought it was Chuck Norris he wanted. And I stayed with him for a week, and we talked a lot about Marines and about the Smashing Machine, his documentary, and about the UFC and athletics and about process, actually, about acting process. So what was interesting is that we bonded entirely on on process, on method, method. I've had, you know, I got him a woolly hat and I had it embroidered, Gavin the Work O'Connor, because he's very interested in the work, but his process is intrinsically his own. You know, as actors, we have the opportunity to work with many directors. Directors only work with themselves and other actors. They never know what it's like to work with another director, so that relationship that one has with a director is entirely, you know what I mean, always the king. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we spoke for a week about his process, which was, you know be all and end all his process, and at the end of that, he totally went to bat for me to play Tommy.
And then Bronson came out, and there must have been offers from other people after Bronson.
Bronson came out, CAA took me on, and then CAA took me on just as we went into the deal on Warrior. And Bronson came out was a great calling card actually for other things, yeah. But funny enough, Chris Nolan's never watched it.
Who?
Chris Nolan never watched it.
So, how did he cast?
He liked me from Rock and Roller, actually, when I played the gay getaway driver. Go fish.
Really?
I just have a quick individual question for each of you. What's going on with Gatsby, if you don't mind letting us know? And also, just talk about how it's been going on this indie movie you've been filming. This small, budgeted feature.
No, I can't say anything about
it. No, I mean, you're just working with Nolan this time.
I love working with Chris Nolan. I love it, you know, I'd do anything for him, I'd read, you know, anything, and it's such an honour to be asked to play, I mean, to be Batman, full stop. If I think about it, what actually I'm doing, then it would be so overwhelming that I will probably, you know, like, not be able to, you know, I wouldn't be able to do the job, so I'd rather not talk about it, it's quite a big deal, actually, and like, about, you know, Chris and Emma and the whole crew are making a very intimate environment. So you're never aware of the size of the job.
And
I can't tell. I mean, I can tell you as much as I know about Gatsby. We've been sort of in pre-production where we did a really great kind of exploration workshop in New York, and I'm off on Monday back to Australia, where everything's sort of being prepped and ready, and we're going to continue rehearsals. And then we start shooting in a few weeks, and it's all systems go until Christmas.
Are we shooting with Great Gatsby in Australia?
Yeah.
That just seems wrong.
Yeah.
It'd be like shooting a man from Snowy River in Manhattan, wouldn't it?
But there's been movies set on in space, and, you know, you don't shoot them in space.
That is a very good point.
They tried.
Because there's no electricity there.
Yeah. And the unions will not allow it.
Have you tried hoovering the moon?
So dusty. No, but look, I mean, could you shoot it in New York or could you shoot it in Long Island these days? I'd argue that it'd be almost impossible to shoot it in Long Island because...
As soon as we're shooting Mad Max in Hackney.
It's really changed.
You're shooting Mad Max in Hackney?
Stoke Newington, yeah.
Really?
Oh, really? Has it changed again? Well, thought Namibia.
Since the riots in London, do you know what I mean? It's so post-apocalyptic. We've decided to shoot it in Tottenham. Yeah.
Quick trip up the A13.
Yeah. Shooting in Tottenham and Hackney, yeah.
I don't mean that to be disrespectful. I'm just saying, like, Baz also has a very big infrastructure in Sydney. He's made all of his movies there. He knows what's going on there.
It wasn't meant to counter it, just he made
like... Oh, yeah.
Really quickly, what did each of you learn about the world of mixed martial arts?
It's terrifying. Don't try it at home. If you do, do it with an appropriate adult, because it really is an athletic sport, and people that do it are very serious about it. And it's not. It's what I've found is like Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys. You can marry any of them. They're lovely. Do you know what I mean? And like the most humble and it's the most humbling experience was training with them with the mixed martial arts because. Like Joel said, they've got nothing to prove. So when you're working with them, they are so generous, so kind, so loving, so thoughtful, and so entirely about your well-being that you're surprised that for 25 minutes of an evening they go out and try to smash each other, beat each other up, you know what I mean, to win. Because most of their time is spent entirely like taking care of themselves and each other, you know, and they've got nothing to prove. So, you know, not unlike the rest of us, maybe, who get aggressive in their car and shout at people and, like, you know, have tantrums. These guys are, like, chill, man. Like Buddhas floating on lily pads because they spend all day kicking each other. It's very respectful.
Yeah, what I learned is really that it wasn't really as brutal a sport as I was first judging before I got involved with the movie.
Absolutely.
I had no idea about it. I just saw it as this, you know, a bloody kind of gladiator sport. And, you know, there is an element of that, of course. You know, there is, I mean, you are going to be elbowed in the face or kneed in the head.
You're not.
You and you are, however.
You mustn't worry. It's just a term of speech. No.
You know what I mean? Like, there is that. I'm not going to say it's like five people tickling each other with feathers. You know what I mean? It's beyond that. But there's more to it. That makes you, as everything in life is, you know, there's a world to explore.
Do we see your real tattoos in the movie?
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Oh, so that's the one. That's Italian?
Filho.
Yeah, Filho.
Oh, this is my beautiful boy, for my son.
Filho mio bello?
Bellissimo.
Bellissimo. Yeah. You speak Italian?
No, I don't. But painfully. But I will do, because I hope to play Al Capone.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so I will. I'm learning Italian.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
What's going to be that?
What movie? A couple of years. I want to play that in Italian.
When are you filming? When's Mad Max? Is it greenlit? Are you definitely doing it?
Oh yeah, that's going live. But the Australian desert has had the finest rainfall in like years. You know what I mean, so it's not a desert anymore. It's a meadow. You know, the hills are alive with the sound of music should be shot there. You know what I mean?
Young male Australian actors went out there with watering cans.
Yeah,
because I didn't want Tommy to play Mad Max.
So we'll probably have to find somewhere else to shoot it, but it looks like it's going in April.
Is it Namibia?
Do you hear anything?
I think it could well be Namibia.
Namibia.
And do you hear anything from Mel Gibson about it?
No, he doesn't have a problem with me about Mad Max. He doesn't want to do it anymore.
Oh.
He was offered it, you know what I mean? He can play it if he wants. It's his role. I'm second choice. I know who I am. I'm no Mel. It's called Matt, though. It's called Max.
Thank you.
Great Gatsby.
Can you push that?
Yeah. Well, the next one I'm shooting is Great Gatsby. The next one that's coming out after this is called Is That Thing. It should come out in October.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, see ya.
Thank you.
Thank you.